deepen, we do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is.
I was trying not to let that song get to me. Isn't that stupid? I had never heard that song. And to Abby's credit, I didn't know they were going to sing that today. And I was just sat there totally caught off guard by the truth of that. Just to look and to recognize and the truth of a song like that, is he worthy? It's like, phew. And then, and that's on top of what Bob shared this morning and the other songs. And I just, a long time ago, there was a commercial on TV, and I don't remember what it is. I thought of it while Bob was talking, but I don't remember what it is. But it was a house. It was at night in a house, and there were kids sleeping in some bedrooms and stuff. And there was a noise in the house, and it showed like the door creaking open downstairs, and and then there was like some really nasty looking guy that came in, and he was looking for the children in the house, and there was some weird monster coming up the back stairways to another thing, and the mother heard this, and I think it was the mother, but picked up a baseball bat or something like that and walked out in the hallway and stood in front of the kids' bedroom doors, and obviously these things came up the stairs, and I don't remember, I'm not making it up, it was something like this, and you know, I think she's the one that said, "You shall not pass." But that wasn't her. But that's exactly what her baseball bat was saying to that intruder. And then it cut to the commercial. And it was advertising some kind of program to put on your TV that keeps those kind of movies from coming into your house. And as Bob was talking, I was sitting there thinking, I want you to know, what we had planned to say what he said. That was not an accident. It was not of his spare of the moment thought. We've been planning on this for a while. We have some other things like this coming up that are not going to make us really politically correct, but we are more interested in being biblically correct in an amazing, loving way. And we're going to learn how to love some of these people. I thought, I really feel like I can relate to that because I am the head of this house. I am the father in this house. And I don't mean to put you down and elevate myself, but God has given me the position of being the guardian of this church, the senior leader of this church. And my responsibility is to keep false teaching from creeping in to this church and to my people. I feel like you're my children, and I don't mean that in a mean way, but I am going to have to answer to God the same way a father will have to answer to God for his household. This is my household. God has given me the accountability for here. And we will not let false teaching creep into this church. It's frustrating enough in the community. It's frustrating enough in the churches of the world, but we will not knowingly let false teaching creep into this building. I need to be held accountable for that. I'm going to answer to God for that. And I don't want to be a false teacher. And I want you guys to look at the Word of God and to study the Word of God. It's one of the reasons I put the notes in the bulletin. The passages of Scripture, you check. You make sure I'm right with God. Not right with God. I'll make sure I'm right with God as best as I can be. But you make sure I'm teaching truth. And hold me to that. Now, not truth the way you see it. Literally biblical truth. We will not compromise that. And you have every right, biblically, to look through the Scriptures and make sure I am on track with the Word of God. Not the world. And not the most recent teachings in our world and the ecumenical movement of our world. And by that, I don't mean denominations, but I mean the truth of God's Word. You've been given that. I've been given that. And I feel a huge weight of that responsibility on me. Now, this isn't a pity party, okay? God made me for this. He trained me for this. He made me for this and called me to this. So I love it. But we're not going to stand by and watch things happen in our church and in our community and not speak out against it and not speak the truth. So I want you to be assured of that, that everything in us is to protect from false teachers and the lies that Satan's presented, because they are destroying our nation. As much as I love America, we're in a dangerous path in politics and everything. Where do you find truth? I want to tell you what. In this church and many other churches in America, you're going to find truth as we teach the Word of God. I promise you that. And then we heard that challenge and that stance, which is awesome. Now understand, truth in the Word of God sometimes isn't pleasant to hear. It doesn't fit what we think would be right. But the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Most High God, is not interested in anybody perishing. He would never speak against people. He is not willing that anybody should perish. That's why he's slow and that's why he's patient with our world, James says. He loves people. He wants people to come to know him. He wants people to cross over from death, which we were born in, spiritual death, to spiritual life. So he's not going to say nasty things to the world. But he promises the things he say are not going to be pleasing to those without Christ. So we're not going to pander to the world, but we're going to teach truth because God is love and there is not love. Love and false teaching is not love. That leads people to death. I love you guys. I really do. Like a father loves his children. And I want us to hear truth, speak truth. I am accountable to God for that. And so I'm not at all going to apologize, and no one's asking me to either, but for what you heard this morning. And there'll be other times. We're gonna have a couple other FYI times coming up as we go along. But I was just, and then we went from that to that song that I just sit there and I just started weeping. It's like, ay, yi, yi. You know, it's my girly left brain or right brain or whatever that's coming out on that. And when I say that, I'm not busting on that. I'm glad I have some of that emotion and stuff like that. But just the truth of then looking to the King of Kings and looking to the truth of the Scripture. Who is worthy? He is. Are we worthy? No, he is worthy. And I'm like, got up the first service. I'm like, anyway. It was good morning. Good morning. And so it's like, why should I keep on going? And so I'm not going to let you out right now, although I could. And we have heard a great message from God and a great word from God. But I didn't with the first service, so I'm not going to let you out now. So we're going to just go a little way into what we're going to be talking about today. And I love it. Now that we've been given salvation, now as a believer in Jesus, I'm going to pray. Can I pray and just kind of switch gears a little bit? Whew, a squirrel. Look at it. Anyway, but let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the truth. Thank you that the leadership of this church and the people in this church are not afraid of truth. But God, please, please let us love the way you loved. Let us not become proud and conceited, but let us in humility love other people the same way you did. Please, God, speak to this church family. Let us protect our children and our teachings. Make us an island, not the only island in the world. There's all kinds of churches that teach the truth of the Word of God. They do it in maybe different styles and stuff, but the truth of the Word of God is what we need to hear. Because only in that is life and life abundantly. Thank you for the freedom still in this country to speak the truth. Use this morning. Challenge us as believers in this one area. It's such a cool area. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when you heard the gospel of truth, we were all born sinful. We were born lost. Doesn't go good with the world. Doesn't help our self-confidence, but we were born lost. And we need truth. And that's why God came. That's why Jesus died and was buried and he rose again. And he said, if you believe in me, there is no other name given among heaven, where among men, whereby you must be saved except Jesus Christ. And when we see that and come to the realization that I can't do it on my own, my life's just, I'm doing it wrong. I need Jesus Christ. And we accept God's gift of forgiveness for our sins. We're born into God's family. We're saved. We've been given salvation. And once we're given salvation, knowing that we don't deserve it, what should our response be as believers in Jesus Christ? Our response should be, serve the one who saved you. Serve the one who saved you. We were all knit. If you go back a week or two ago, we're all knit together in a mother's womb specifically for good things, for works that God has in advance for us to do. We're not saved by works, but we're saved to do the things that God created you. Every one of you was knit together. Every piece of you, every strand of DNA was knit together, not so you could have a nice life or a disease-free or anything like that. He knit you to serve him. And you were all fearfully and wonderfully made. So once we know that, we need to look to God and we guys say, God, I'm your man. God, I'm your woman. God, I'm your student. I'm your child. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. It's just a great way to say it. Imagine that the Bible said it in a great way. And isn't that hard to imagine? For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have died. Jesus died for us, we died. He died in our place, so we all died to that sinful nature. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. The love of Christ compels us. Not the pastor that says, you need to get up off your seats and serve God. No, the love of God. Who wants someone to serve that has to? Well, I don't want to work in children's ministry, but I have to. No, you don't. I want people to say, wow, it's hard, and it's exhausting, and it's a whole Wednesday evening, but I can't wait to serve God. And a lot of you guys have said that this year. I'm so proud of you. But the love of God compels us. So we're knit together to serve God, not because of obligation like we have to, but because we love God. Love the one who died for us. Serve the one who died for us. You know, salvation was not just to avoid the lake of fire, because every single person in this world is headed towards hell without any hope of escape on their own merits. But God died for us, and he died for us to save us from eternal destination without Christ in the lake of fire. That's what he died for us. But that's not the only reason. That's not the only reason that he died for us. Salvation wasn't just to avoid lake of fire, but it was for life and purpose today. God created us to serve him today. John 10:10 says, what? Let's say, I've come that they might have life and have it to the fullest, or have it abundantly. God didn't save us just for eternity. God saved us so now, when we find through the Holy Spirit's strength that we were created to serve and serve God, life is more full serving God than it is serving ourselves. We were created to serve. Now, my whole life, I was not a pastor. I always kind of did, worked for God on the side growing up, and I would work for a living, you know, and renovate houses and stuff like that. And it was fun to see a house renovated. When I was in high school, I got the best job, the highest paying job I ever had back in like 1970. In 70, like 7 or 6 or 7 or 8. I got a job that paid me $100 an hour back in the 70s. It was like incredible. I couldn't believe I could make that much money. And it was awesome. I worked at it 3 times. And I said, it's not worth $100 an hour. I was scuba diving for golf balls in golf course ponds. Now, if you've ever been in a golf course pond at night, when golf balls that have been in there for a long time, they settle in the mud. There's about that much mud at the bottom of most golf course ponds. And so you just get this, and so you're undernight with scuba equipment, going like this, getting golf balls. I could make 5 cents a piece. I could make $100 an hour. And it was awesome. But there's always that chance of a snapping turtle being in that mud when you're going like this at night, and I don't know what else is in there. It was terrible. It wasn't worth $100. It was not fulfilling. Oh, I got money. But money isn't really the answer to what's fulfilling in life, and that's not what we're looking for. You can have a good paying job and go to it all the time and even like your job, but at the end of the day, there's something missing. I need to make money. You need to work. You need to make money. You need to pay your way. But if that's what we're counting on to fulfill us in life, any job is going to get to be old after a while. We were created to serve God. Doesn't mean we have to do it full time. But when you choose to use the gifts God's given you to serve him, you get done at the end of a KFJ night thinking, oh, it is so hard, but I did something kingdom worthy. And if all we're doing is going through this life serving ourselves and making money, there's going to be a holy discontent in your life. We were created with that holy discontent. You are made to serve God in some way. Not just be the pastor of church. Doesn't have to be working in the church. But use the gifts God's given you to serve Him. And there's something different about that. And it stores up treasures in heaven. That's what's so awesome. You can't take anything we make on earth, but we can store up treasures in heaven that will last for an eternity. And so God knit us together to serve Him, and fulfillment comes in serving God in that way. Is it hard serving God? Yes. Is it hard being a pastor? Yes. Is it hard being you? Yes. There's really not. See, we aren't called. Okay. Let me just take you to Matthew 11, 28 to 30. We were created to serve or work out our salvation, work at our salvation. But even that, it's still work. But it's worthwhile labor. Listen to Matthew 11. This is where God calls us to still serve Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, lest you strain thyself and get tired. Thou servest once, and now thou art finished. Now sit back in thine comfy chair. Allow others who hath not put in their allotted time to do the work of ministry, whilst thou rest in green pastures beside the quiet waters. Isn't that awesome that God tells us this? Now that you're saved, rest. Serve sometime, but once you serve for a while, then it's okay to now rest. You did your duty. God wants us to relax. God wants us to have a nice little life and use our money and do this and that and the other thing and just enjoy this time on earth. And if that's your job, then you're going to be discontent. If that's what you do, you're going to be discontent with salvation because you weren't created to sit back and enjoy the green pastures besides the valley of water or whatever it was saying.
It says quiet waters, yeah. Well, that's usually in a valley. We weren't created for that. We were created to serve God. Let's look at the non-parody version of this, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And I thank you for some of you guys chuckling. And I know some of you guys were like, I don't think that's right. But I probably shouldn't laugh just in case it is. That was just a parody, all right? Here's the real verse, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me. All you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you know what? We live in a weary, even our students are weary and burdened from the things that they go through and the pressures on social media and all that kind of stuff. And you guys that work and you guys that are raising family. And God looks down and He said, you're my children. I'm your father. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And that infers like, okay, we can just sit back on our nice little chair, but that's not what God's saying. Listen to what He says. We're still created to serve. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. The word yoke, you know what a yoke is, right? If you're thinking a little kind of oval round thing, you're wrong. If you're thinking of sunny side up, no, we're not talking about that yoke. That would be a yoke. Joke. Anyway, but What we are looking at is a yoke, and I see a yoke when I go down to Williamsburg. You've been down to Williamsburg, and they have a yoke of oxen that are walking around pulling a cart, you know? And over their head, there's this big, I think the big thing sitting on their shoulder, just a big, heavy beam sitting on their shoulders, and then the oxen stand side by side, and they hook them together, and they can't get their heads out, like the stocks, you know? And they hook their head in there, and so they can't get away from this yoke. They are tied together with another ox in order to do work. So take my yoke upon you. God says, listen, you are going to have to work, because He's faithful. He created you to serve. He doesn't say, now that you're saved, have a nice time on earth. You were created to serve in your life. And then to relax in all eternity in heaven, but we were created to serve. He said, take my yoke upon you. I love it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I'll leave that up there for a little bit, and I want to walk you through some of the statements of this, and then we'll be finished. But take my yoke upon you.
God has a yoke made for every believer. And that means work. That means service. It's just another way to say we're saved to serve. God has a yoke for you made exactly to fit you, made exactly for what you were created for. Take my yoke upon you. And it's not a yoke of slavery and sin that Satan does. Satan's yoke doesn't seem nasty at first. Well, it makes me feel good. It makes me happy. But after a while, you get trapped in this burden and weighted down by the garbage in your life and the way you hurt other people and the way you're hurting yourselves in relationships. Or just, you know, God says, it's not the yoke of slavery and guilt and condemnation. You can't ever serve God because I know what you did in the past and God's pointing his finger at us, or some church leader's pointing his finger and say, you're a sinner. How dare you want to serve God? That's not the kind of yoke. God doesn't remind us of that when we're forgiven, when we've given our lives to Jesus Christ, when we repented. So God's yoke isn't the yoke of slavery and guilt and condemnation, but the yoke of freedom, forgiveness, and no more condemnation. God offers us a yoke, a job with him that is not slavery. It is not condemning. It is freedom from the past. No more condemnation, forgiveness. He says, take my yoke upon you, my work that you were created for, my purpose that has eternal benefits, not just temporary ones that it's like, why do this? There's eternal benefits. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Keep in step with me. Watch me. Learn from me. When God, and this is the interesting thing, and this is something that I realized for the first time, I think for the first time studying this message, is God doesn't say, I have a yoke made for you, and when you get saved here, you take this yoke, you put it on, and you go do the job that I have for you. A yoke is two people. And God says, here, take my yoke upon you. And I'm sitting there thinking about this, realizing what God is saying. This is incredible. Because he just doesn't put a yoke on us, give us a, and off we got to go pull our cart. What does he do? Who is on the other side of the yoke we're given? God is on the other side of the yoke. He doesn't take it off and say, here's a yoke, go work for me. He says, here, I have a spot for you in my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. He doesn't say, take your yoke and go work for it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He yokes us to himself. He becomes our lab partner. Wouldn't you like to have a lab partner? Well, like God? Yeah, I would've. He's better than any lab partner you'll ever have. And he says, here, get in my yoke. And that's why he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Keep in step with me. Watch me. Learn from me. Follow me. I'll help you do the work I have prepared for you. He just doesn't assign it to us and just let us do it. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. What kind of person? What a great person to be yoked to. Someone who is gentle and humble in heart, not selfish. He doesn't make us, he doesn't give us more yoke than we can handle. He promises not to do that. He has our best, our yoke partner. He has our best interest in mind. And he's perfect in all of his ways. Why wouldn't anybody want to be yoked to him? Rather than a yoke of guilt and condemnation. And he says this, he says, and you will find rest for your souls. Not you don't have to work anymore. Not you don't have to serve me. But it's kind of weird. He's saying, let's serve me together. Because I know exactly what you were created for. And I'm telling you, when you serve God, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. You're not always going to want to do it. But when you're done, as you're using your gifts to serve God, that we'll talk about next week, there's something in you that says, it was almost refreshing. It was almost refreshing. I'm proud of the fact that I got to serve God.
That's why he can say, take my yoke upon you. I'm gentle in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, because our souls were created for kingdom work. I was made for this. And whatever it is that God has called you to do and what he's created you to do, you will not find rest for your souls until you find that. And then your soul will rest. Your body will be worn out, yes. But you'll find rest for your souls, and that's to the heart of us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that makes totally different sense. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, when we are yoked together with the King of Kings, the Lamb of God who was worthy to God himself. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Colossians 1:29 says it, and Philippians 4:13 say it in a little bit different way, and I love this when I'm thinking about a yoke, when I'm thinking about this huge yoke on my neck, but the other end's tied to God. It says, to this end, and this is, to this end, I strenuously contend. And we are called, and sometimes serving God is strenuous, and it's like contending in a fight. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So I'm contending with his energy that works in me. When I become a believer in Jesus Christ, where does God pick up residence? That wasn't a trick question. In my heart, in my life. So I'm yoked to God. He's living in my life. I'm tied to him. And when I do what I'm created for, I'm walking in his yoke through his strength. And that's why we can say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. I can do all this through Christ, through his strength, through him who gives me strength. It's not even our strength that we have to carry that yoke in. You talk about being worthy, and you talk about an easy yoke. When you're yoked to the King of Kings, you're filled with the King of Kings, and you're working with his strength, and you can do all things through his strength. Understand, that doesn't mean that thou shalt sit in thy easy chair for the rest of your life, or thy pew. But that thing God has made you to do will be the only thing in life you ever do that truly satisfies your soul. And even though your body will be worn out, your soul will be refreshed. So we're yoked to God. So this week, I think it's probably time to quit. Good, because I got a quarter of the way through. This week, oh, I have to go home and mull over this whole service. So many things. But this week when you go home, I sent you home thinking you are created to serve. We're going to talk about the difference between a gift of God and a talent next week and some other things like that. But continue to ask God. Picture yourself as a believer. God is saying he's on one side of this yoke, okay? And he's a strong ox of a God, okay? And I mean that with all due respect, okay? Because I'm picturing in this setting. And here comes little old me, and I got to put my head into this little stock, you know? And he's God. He's got this stuff. Why do I think that I don't have the strength to serve him? Why do I think that I don't have the ability to carry him? He made me, and he made that yoke for me. He's living in me. He'll strengthen me. There's no fear in searching for what you were created for by God and what spiritual gift God has given you to use in the family of God. So one more week, and we will get to it, one more week to think, what am I created for? What was I created for? And I think there's all kinds of things you can think of. Sometimes it's hard, but think of it. And then we're going to start practicing some of those things. But I just want you to not be afraid of God. Don't be afraid to come unto him, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you, for his burden is easy. Still a burden. And it's light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I don't know how. I know people accuse you of being harsh.
I don't understand how you could be any more gentle. And how you could have gone out of your way any more to tell us truth and provide easy access to a brand new life. You are so amazing. And even harsh truth of this morning is we can't lie to people. Lying only takes them to the lake of fire. The most loving thing we can do is be truthful, and you created us as bearers of that truth. And you've designed us to have some way to take this truth to our world. To bring glory to your name in this world and in this church. I know some of us are just seeking. And some of us have chosen Christ. And some of us are been Christians, Christ followers for a long time. Just let us all step up a little bit more as we see the day approaching of the end times. Help us to love our friends and people that are lost, that are great people, that are amazing, wonderful people. They just don't know the truth of the scriptures. Let them see it in us. Use us, please, in this world. Please, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming. Awesome to have you here. Would you please do me a favor? These first two rows go the whole way across. Can that section and that section, can we stack those chairs back there in stacks of 10? We need the room this afternoon. That'll save my poor, frail little pastor body from stacking those chairs. Please help me out just with those two sections, please. Thank you. Thanks for coming, guys. I love you guys.